By now, you've seen a bumper sticker or two pointing out that something is not a crime, like skateboarding is not a crime or sleeping is not a crime. And it's that second one that continues to draw attention. And the attention was renewed last week with the release of a report showing how California cities are approaching the presence of homeless people. The report says many cities are passing laws that, in effect, make being homeless a crime. The report is called California's New Vagrancy Laws, the growing enactment and enforcement of anti-homeless laws in the Golden State. It is a creation of the Policy Advocacy Clinic at the University of California, Berkeley Law School, where Marina Fisher is a graduate student. Marina, welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you.
And it was also the work of the Western Regional Advocacy Project, for which Monica Beamer is a member of the Board of Directors. Monica, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you.
Monica, since this pretty much starts with RAP, the Western Regional Advocacy Project, tell us a bit about the group itself.
Well, RAP is a group of basically groups who are working on the ground to bring housing justice in a variety of forms to mostly West Coast groups, though now Colorado has joined us, which we're very excited about. And so basically, we're, we basically come together and support each other's struggles. A lot of folks are, we have groups in California, Oregon, some groups in Washington, and Colorado. And it's basically groups who basically stand up for the right of people to have a home as a basic human right. And through the Homeless Bill of Rights, currently stand up for an end to criminalizing people because they're poor, and so making sure that people have the right to basically sleep and eat and be, and seeing those as a basic human right. And we put this struggle in the context of of historic struggles for against civil rights, different groups that have been criminalized, such as Jim Crow laws, ugly laws, just to show that, we believe that this is, and a lot of those struggles obviously still go on, but we have struggles against racism and classism, but we're looking at how folks who are homeless are targeted by a lot of the laws that are, affecting them. And so the students did this report, which really helped to look specifically at, what in California, what are some of the specific laws? And so we're about 10 years old, and it's basically to learn from each other and uplift each other's struggles, make sure that when we're working, doing some work, trying to influence leaders, that they know that other folks are watching from other areas, and just build our power. We also do a lot around education. We had a groundbreaking report called Without Housing, which basically documented massive, massive federal cuts to affordable housing, which created the epidemic of homelessness in the United States today. So
Marina Fisher, bring us up to the methodology, if you would, about how you approach the study.
Sure. So we wanted to look at these anti-homeless laws, which are more commonly and we think callously called quality of life laws, from two major perspectives. One was their enactment. So we wanted to see which city's municipal codes actually had these laws and what year they were passed so we could track their growth over time. And the second aspect of our research was enforcement. We wanted to see what cities actually did with these laws. And so we looked at some statewide trends in California, and we also did very detailed dives into San Francisco, Sacramento, and San Diego to see really what cities were doing and what discretion they had to look at these laws. I also want to point out that we did work with RAP, but the findings are very much independent and consistent with what UC Berkeley found. We didn't know when we started the research what we would really find and whether the data that were out there were consistent with what advocates were seeing or whether there was, a different story to the data. But we did very much find that these laws are growing and that they are enforced quite heavily by cities across California.
Has there been a boom in the last 2 years, the last 5 years? What's the general trend here?
The general trend is a growth over time, but specifically since 1990, so in the last 25 years, we see that the majority of the laws on the books were passed, actually 59% of all of the current laws that we looked at about sleeping, sitting, standing, resting, begging, and also sharing food with homeless people. So nearly 60% of those were passed since 1990. And if current trends continue over just this decade, so between 2010 and 2020, the 58 cities that we looked at will collectively pass about 11 new such laws per year. So it's very much an active and growing phenomenon.
How small did you go and how far flung? Did you study, for example, Redding in Northern California?
So we studied a mix of cities. The 58 cities represent some geographic diversity, as well as some smaller cities across the state where RAP, for example, has affiliates. So we didn't study Redding, but we do have cities like South Lake Tahoe, for example, that are more in Northern California.
All right. We're talking to Marina Fisher at the Policy Advocacy Clinic of the University of California, Berkeley Law School, and Monica Beamer at the Western Regional Advocacy Project about this study on the criminalizing of homelessness in California. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Here, in fact, is Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the exchange.
Good morning. A comment and a historical background. This is one of the most heartbreaking issues that we can possibly talk about, and it's madness that we're criminalizing a person's plight. Prior to the Reagan administration, we had fairly decent mental health planning. During the Reagan administration, mental health care was slashed. All kinds of social services were slashed. But during that time, all of the mental institutions were closed. The people were dumped onto the streets. And there was a fearful symmetry because in the Cold War Soviet system of the time, there was no crime. If you committed a crime, you were insane. And we had a fearful symmetry because, needless to say, all of these people who really needed mental health attention wound up going right back into jail as their first piece. And so in Russia, it was insane to be criminal, and in the U.S., it was criminal to be insane. And this is a continuation of the dynamics that began all the way back there. We have to stop this. We have to start behaving with compassion and treating our fellow man with that old saying, there but for the grace of whatever, go I.
All right.
And the comment.
Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate that. So, Marina Fisher, you mentioned that you looked at enforcement, and I'm curious to know, when we talk about things like sit-lie laws and no sleeping in city property laws, what are the usual penalties that you're finding?
The usual penalties are really on a graduated scale. So the initial penalty might start just as a police warning, a verbal warning that doesn't have a paper trail. And we do see some cities really prioritizing that as their first approach. But ultimately, if people are homeless, they incur repeated violations of these laws, which can result in a citation. And typically that will be, you know, a couple hundred dollars up to maybe $500. But the problem comes really because homeless people often can't afford to pay the fine that comes with the citation or appear in court because it might not be close to where they live or where they are on the street. And so this really triggers a cycle and a series of penalties that can result in a homeless person's arrest. So what seems like a fairly innocuous penalty to potentially an outside observer is actually very much criminalizing a homeless person and can result in again, jail time and really having a criminal record that can then prevent the homeless person from accessing the social safety net or applying for a job or even accessing affordable housing.
So now, Monica Beamer at RAP, the Western Regional Advocacy Project, what do you do with this information now? I mean, the unveiling of this report was at the state capitol in Sacramento. So do you have some legislative remedies in mind?
We do. And before we talk about them, I just wanted to mention that, you know, what we're talking about here with these laws is what we're seeing across the country and what we're seeing in rural areas and urban areas. So it's really, and we do a lot of street outreach at RAP and base everything we do in asking folks, what's your experience and what's important to you? And basically folks are telling us this from across the country after thousands and thousands of interviews and surveys. So it's really important, the work that's happening to stop this, as the caller was mentioning, and the report from the students is really helpful to point out all of the details of how it impacts people's lives and the specifics of it. So what we are doing is the Homeless Bill of Rights campaign does include a legislative component. It also is about organizing and building power and building education about these issues. And so right now we do have legislation in Colorado and Oregon, and we're hoping to get legislation in California. And basically it's a process of building up, talking with the legislators, with a group of grassroots organizers, and working as much as we can across the state to build awareness of the impact of criminalizing people simply because they don't have a home or because they're poor, and to stand up for, as the caller said, for a better way, a better society. And so that's our right to rest bill. We use, because we're working together, we use the same bill in each of the states. So we have a process where we build our, and again, everything is from street outreach, but we basically build our bill, what we bring to the legislators, the same bill in all of the states based in that street outreach and based in the input and leadership from our organizers who are on the street as well. So it's a really powerful process. The legislators we've worked with and the lobbyists have been really impressed with what, our organizing, and also the discussions that we're creating in the capitals around the violence against people who are experiencing homelessness that is in the form of targeting around just being. And so these are sadly new discussions, but so it's creating, we hope, a paradigm shift of looking at this as a human right, and this behavior is not acceptable.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about criminalizing homelessness with Monica Beamer and Marina Fisher. Here's a call from Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning. Recently, our chief of police here informed us that, as far as he could tell, one of the reasons we had so many homeless people in this area, which is, I think, over 3,000 in a city of under 100,000, is due to the fact that there are so many charities here helping out homeless people. Prior to the election, I went to a candidates forum for the city council members, and as far as I could tell, each and every one of them had figured out that the reason that there was so much crime in Reading was because there were so many homeless people. And, this just, I myself, I've been the victim of property crime on multiple occasions. Whether it was done by homeless people or not, I have no idea. It was nothing major. But, it just seems to me, I've been homeless myself. It's been many years. Now that so many people are doing it, it's no fun anymore. But it just seems to me that it's really odd that we should blame the homeless for all the crime, the ills of society.
Okay. They're
certainly the victims of society, not the cause of the ills.
All right, Marina Fish, I want you to come in here, because you mentioned that these are often regarded as quality of life ordinances when they're passed, and so there are discussions like Mark was conveying from the Reading police chief, that, as he heard it, that people are talking about this. Our quality of life in town is not as good because of homeless people. That's why they passed the laws. What is there another desired approach that does seem to work in some cases that makes more people happy, including the homeless people?
Well, housing would be a good start.
That was Marina I was asking.
Sorry. Oh, sorry.
I think, again, the laws that we look at specifically are not crimes like property crimes or even things like urinating in public that, are crimes. We looked at just these, basic,
not behaviors, just existence.
Just looking at the right to exist. But the other thing I would say is, because cities have so far had the discretion to pass and enforce their own laws, it creates this sort of race to the bottom that we see between cities, where any given city believes if they can be just a bit more restrictive than their neighbors, they will push out the homeless people, to neighboring cities where they can be, quote-unquote, someone else's problem. And we think that's really problematic. You know, it's one of the reasons that our report recommends action at the state level, is that these types of differences between cities actually create animosity, you know, as homeless people move from one city to another because of, you know, the differences in restrictiveness. And then the other component of this is just the idea of around culture change, that we know a lot of this enforcement of so-called quality of life laws against homeless people comes because of public outcry, because of business interests, particularly in areas that are gentrifying. It's very strong. And so we recognize there needs to be a lot of cultural shift and really alignment of the public and the police and city stakeholders to devise more productive options, you know, housing or something else that empowers homeless people to live better lives rather than just trying to criminalize our way out of dealing with the problem.
All right. I want to thank you both for joining us. We are out of time to talk about this any further. Marina Fisher is a graduate student at the Policy Advocacy Clinic at the University of California, Berkeley Law School. Monica Beamer is on the board of directors of the Western Regional Advocacy Project. You can find the report online through our website. It's called California's New Vagrancy Laws, the Growing Enactment and Enforcement of Anti-Homeless Laws in the Golden State.